Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have something to celebrate. Something to celebrate. Now, I gotta tell you how good it was to be here on Friday in the house of the Lord with 300 people in one accord, right? We were in unity together, in alignment with Christ, all focusing on what was done on the cross. And for weeks leading up to that, we've been talking about the last words of Jesus on the cross and how those last words that he spoke carry such an incredible, weighty effect on our lives and on history itself. Those last words that he spoke, those seven phrases that we have been talking about now for a month and a half, may well have been the greatest sermon Jesus ever preached. And he was struggling for his own breath. He was near death. And at the end of his life, when all things are coming full circle, as it were, just before he uttered those words, "It is finished." The things that he was saying on the cross, he was providing for us. He was thinking of us the whole time. And he's bleeding, and he's spikes through his body. He's been beat up. His beard's been torn out. He's been whipped. Punched in the face, mocked. Terrible, terrible beating. And yet while he's on the cross, while he is struggling for his own breath, he's thinking of us. He's thinking of us. And if you think about those that were crucifying, those who were screaming out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" when they had the chance to get somebody else free. They screamed for him. "Crucify him! He's the one we want to die." And then the soldiers who are treating him badly, obviously, they're the ones that are doing the whipping and the beating and nailing him to the cross. And what is the first thing that he says? "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." Wow. That is amazing. "Forgive them." And then he's got two thieves next to him on the cross, right? They're both guilty. He's innocent. He's innocent. Amen. All right. And the one starts mocking him, right? "Save yourself." By the way, save us too. Yeah. And the other one, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Today, he says to him, "You will be with me in paradise. We'll be there together by the end of this day." Amen. How about that? Mm-hmm. How about that? Amen. And then he looks down. And the only disciple that was there at the bottom of that cross, which was who? John. And three Marys, right? We talked about that. Must have been a very common name, right? Three different Marys there. And his mama is there. His mama's there. And we talked about how Jesus, being the oldest, would have more than likely been responsible for caring for his mama. And here she is at the cross looking up at her baby. How many of you know they're always our babies, right? She's looking at her baby. She's unable to do anything. She can't do anything. How many of you know when the children are in danger, the mama lion roars? She could do nothing. She could do nothing. And so Jesus looks down at his mama And he says, "Dear woman, here is your son now." John, the beloved, right? "Here is your son now. He's going to take care of you where I have been taking care of you now." Because remember, Jesus, Joseph, Mary's husband, had died. She was a widow. Sometimes we forget that. She was a widow. That's not an easy life. Okay. Now she's losing the other person that would have been caring for her. Even more difficult. But as he's on the cross, he reserves enough breath to say, "Woman, here's your son." And he tells John, "Here's your mama. You take care of her." We can learn so much from the words that Jesus spoke on the cross. And he's thinking of others. And all the time, what is he doing? He's quoting Scripture. And we talked about Psalm 22. In some places, it's word for word. Word for word. It's unbelievable. While he's on the cross, dying, he's quoting Scripture to the very end. We can learn a lot from that. When you are at the end of yourself, the end of your strength, look to the Scripture. And that's an example, one thing that he was portraying for us, for generations to come. When you are at the end of everything that you have, look to God. Look to the Scripture. How beautiful an example. And now, Friday, we were remembering in that moving service the death of Jesus. He breathed his last and gave up his spirit. "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And that says something the way that's worded.
It sure does.
"It was not taken from me. I willingly gave it." I willingly gave it. It's beautiful. So after Jesus is laid in the tomb, how many of you know a lot can happen in 3 days? A lot can happen in 3 days. From the cradle to the cross to the grave, resurrection morning. That's why we're here today. That's why we're here today celebrating. He rose from the grave. God raised him from the dead, conquering death, conquering sin, conquering bondage. He did it all on the cross. When he rose again, he sealed our salvation. It was finally completed. It was completed. So why does the resurrection matter? Have you ever thought about that? We can understand pretty easily that our sin was carried to the cross with Jesus, and when he was nailed there and he died on the cross, our sin died with him. When he was carried to the grave, our sin was carried and buried with him. Okay? But what is the significance about the resurrection? What does that mean to us? What's the thing? Yeah? Before we go any further, I want to turn to John 20, if you would, with me. And I want to just read and refresh our memories what happened on that third morning after Jesus was crucified. John chapter 20. I just want to read it all. So it's not very long. So if you would just be patient and follow along with me. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene, remember she's the one that Jesus had cast seven demons out of, went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the ones Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Now this is John talking here, okay? The one that wrote this book. So Peter and the other disciple, John, started for the tomb. They were both running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. So John's saying, I was a little bit faster than Peter. I got there first. Just so you know. He bent over, verse 5, and looked in at the strips of linen lying there. Remember, these were things that Jesus had been wrapped in. But he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw, and he believed. Don't miss that. He saw, and he believed. Verse 9, they still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. You see, Jesus had told them previously that the Son of Man must suffer at the hands of sinners, evil men. He will be killed and buried, and on the third day, rise again. He told them these things. But still, I mean, if somebody told me that, okay, all right. I got it. You got it? Yep. Mm-hmm. I got it. So many times my wife says to me, "You got that? Yeah, I got it. Don't you worry about a thing." I get into town. What did you want me to do? Okay. So they're here. They are. They're at the tomb. I know none of you wives have that problem. They're at the tomb. All right. And Jesus had told his disciples previously that this was going to happen, and it happened. And so they're there now. They come looking for the body. They don't believe Mary. "Mary, you're out of it, lady." And she's, no, come look for yourselves. Can you imagine this situation, right? "Come look for yourselves. Lady, you've lost it." Right? You are out of it, woman. Okay? So they go running to the tomb. And they find everything just as she said. The linens, the empty tomb. Then the disciples, in verse 10, went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw the two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they've put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus. She sees Jesus standing there. But she did not realize that it was him. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." And then Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she knew. She knew the way he called her. She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni!" which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Now, I want you to take note of something. This was Mary here, okay? We've talked in earlier times at Christmas time how the important message was carried by the shepherds who were out in the fields, okay? The message that the Savior has been born was carried by the shepherds. The shepherds were not people of truth. They were not at that time people of reliable character. Okay? They were the lowest of the low. They did not smell very good. Okay? They're living, walking out in the fields with their animals, the sheep, whatever. All right? When you're around animals a lot, you tend to smell like them. Okay? They were known to be thieves sometimes or liars, whatever. Okay? And that's the case. And yet, the message, the Savior has been born, was given to them to carry and spread the word. Now look at here. Who's the one that is talked to here? Mary Magdalene. She was pretty much a harlot. It says, of this lady, Jesus cast 7 demons out of her. She was in rough shape, that lady. And here it is. The message that the Savior has risen from the dead was given to her. Go tell my disciples. Go to Galilee. I'm going to meet you there. What does that say? Does that give you hope? Sometimes we feel like we just don't measure up. Who am I to be telling people about Jesus? I'm not qualified. I sin myself. I'm a sinner. I smoke. I drink. I do this. I do that. I fall on my face every day. Come on. And here's Mary. Worse than you ever were. And she's carrying this message. The Savior has risen. Go meet him. Unbelievable. Mary Magdalene, verse 18, went to the disciples with the news, I have seen the Lord. And she told them that he had said these things to her. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them. Okay? So they're hiding. They are hiding from the Jews. The Jews want to stamp out this Jesus. They want to stamp out this Messiah message. Take care of this once and for all. Anybody that was with him was going to be crucified as well. Guaranteed. Okay? They wanted to put this to rest so that it's done and over with. This blasphemer, this dreamer. Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they realized, when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them. He breathed on them. And he said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. And I just want to read this next part here because this is just beautiful. Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. Can you imagine being Thomas? Come on, I wanted to be there too. What about me? But he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands, put my finger where the nails were and my hand in his side, I will not believe. Some of you sitting here today have refused at one time or another to believe. We all have friends who have refused to believe for one reason or another. I want proof. I want this. I want that. All them Christians, they're a bunch of hypocrites. And they got lists, long as your grocery list, why they can't do it and won't do it, why they shouldn't do it. And here's Thomas. Thomas. And he says, unless I see the marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. You know, I can in some cases relate to him. I really can. Because we don't want to be taken for a fool. Do you understand what I'm saying? We don't want to be taken for a fool. I don't want to believe in something and if it ain't the truth. What if it ain't the truth and I've been believing? Then what? John 8:32. And you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. Not religion, not a church, not a building, not a person. The truth. Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It's like he's the gate, man. He's the door open, and that door is wide open. But you got to go through him first. A week later, verse 26, his disciples were in the house again and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, notice that they detailed this, Jesus came and stood among them. So they're locked in this place and Jesus comes through somehow, some way. And he said, peace be with you. And then he said to Thomas, put your finger here. Do you see my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. And these words, he says, stop doubting and believe. Friends, stop it. Stop doubting and believe. Believe. He is the truth. We're not talking about religion. We're not talking about nothing else. We're talking about you and Jesus. Stop doubting and believe. Do you have friends who are atheists? I do. And you know what? One of them's one of my best friends. Can you believe that? It's like Wyatt Earp and Doc Holliday. I don't know why I said that. It is, though. We're at, like, way different. But I love him. I love him, and he loves me. And I pray for him every day. One of these days. One of these days. Stop doubting. Stop it. It's all been done for you. Stop doubting and believe. The Bible says, to those who received him, to them that believed, he gave the right, the right to become children of God. To become children of God. But you got to receive. You got to believe. You do those things and you're born again. You're like starting over. The Beatles sang a song, wasn't it? Or John Lennon. Just like starting over, right? Well, that's what it is. It's like starting over. You're born again. You are the old person that you used to be. Born That guy gone. That lady gone. The new guy. All things are new. Bible says, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. New. The old has gone. Behold, look, it says, everything is new. Everything is new. And so Jesus is talking to Thomas, stop your doubting and believe. Thomas said to him, my Lord, my God. Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you believe. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. You and me have never seen Jesus, but we believe.
Hallelujah.
We believe. We believe in his word. We believe his word is true. His word is life. Life-giving water found right here. Remember Jesus and the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well. If you knew who it was that was asking you for a drink, he said to her, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. She said, I'll take some of that. I want some of that living water so I don't have to keep coming here every day working so hard, carrying my jars all day. That wasn't the water Jesus was talking about. He was talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that gives life. Life-giving water. Jesus did many other miracles in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may know, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by, and listen to this, and that by believing, you may have what? Life in his name. That you may have life in his name. I'm going to be quoting sporadically some things from Bill Bright. The resurrection, now just bear with me here. The resurrection was the most significant event in history. Okay? Now, we know there's been some pretty significant events. All right? Throughout our history, most of them were wars even, right? All right, Revolutionary War, World War I and II, and whatever. But this event changed history forever. Forever. The resurrection sets Christianity apart from any other religion. In no other religion does a leader break the power of death and conquer sin. Some things about the resurrection. The resurrection proved that Jesus was divine. You know what divine means? It means of God. Okay? Jesus was of God. Jesus was divine. Without the resurrection, if it all stopped on Friday night, at his death, Jesus remains human. You got that? Think about that. If everything ended Friday night with the crucifixion and burial of Jesus, it goes no farther. He remains human. Do you understand that? But with it. But with the resurrection, there is life. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1, verses 2 through 5. Romans chapter 1, verses 2 through 5. Now listen to this. The gospel is promised beforehand through
his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, Jesus, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David. All right? If you read the book of Matthew, the very first thing that he talks about is the genealogy of Jesus Christ, all the way back to Abraham and David. All right? And we talked about the son of David, how they were calling him this. All right. So, and who through the Spirit, verse 4, of holiness was declared with power to be who? The Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ, our Lord. He proved he was divine. Declared him as the Son of God. The cross itself is not enough without the resurrection. Do you understand? It leaves Jesus human. And if he remains in the grave, he remains human, and our sins remain. Our sins remain. But 3 days later, 3 days later, God raised Jesus, the perfect sacrifice, the Son of God, the only begotten of the Father. He raised him from the dead. The resurrection makes Jesus the Son of God. It declares he was God even. He declares he was from God. The resurrection proved his power to forgive sin. It gives him the authority. Do you understand? Because he died and rose again, he now has the authority to take away our sin. Nobody else. Nobody else does that. It gives him the authority and power to break the bondage of sin and ensure forgiveness and eternal life to all who receive and believe him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you can turn there with me if you like. First Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. That Christ, and he kind of goes just through this list, a little bit of list. Jesus Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, he adds, okay? That he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, according to the Scriptures. And that he appeared to Peter, then to the 12. Okay? It proved his power to forgive sin. Down in verse 17 of that same chapter. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. So had the resurrection not happened, had God not raised Jesus from the grave, if God didn't have the power to raise Jesus from the dead, our sins would remain. Amen. But on the third day. On the third day, hallelujah, Jesus arose from the grave. The resurrection revealed Christ Jesus' power over death. The greatest death is the final blow that the enemy, your enemy, Satan, the Bible calls him, has on our lives. That's right. You know that? And he tried to play that trump card on Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah, the Christ. And he thought after the cross, when they laid him in his tomb, he's like, whew, that's over with. Thank myself, that's over with, right? I doubt he was going to thank God. And then on the third day, Matthew says that there was earthquakes. Yes. Earthquakes. Yes. Satan thought it was the game changer. It was his smoking gun, his trump card, the thing that would end the war of all wars. I got it. I finally won. And it turned out to be heaven's triumph. Yeah? Heaven's victory over sin for you and for me. In Romans chapter 6, verse 9. I'm going to start in verse 6. It may not be up on the PowerPoint, but for verse 6 of chapter 6. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with. Our old self, in Christian circles, they call it the old man, right? The old man. The person I used to be was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, down in verse 9 here. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death, listen to this. Death has no longer has mastery over him. Death is no longer mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. Ephesians 2:6. Now I'm jumping all over the place here, but you can follow me if you like. It's important, I think, for you to read these things for yourselves. I could be telling you anything I want to tell you. It's important for you to see it for yourselves, so that you know the truth. Ephesians 2:6. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. He raised us up with Christ. Amen. When Christ arose, the power of sin and death was broken forever. In Romans chapter 8, verse 11. I know I'm hitting a lot of scriptures today. I hope that's okay with you. Because I can't get enough of the Word of God. Now listen to this, Romans 8:11. And if the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Do you see? If we are in Christ Jesus, if we are believing in him, if we have received in him, when our lives are over and our bodies return to the ground, okay, Jesus will receive our spirit to forever be with him in heaven. Do you know that it just doesn't happen by default? When we die, many people, and this is the belief, many people believe when you die, you just default to heaven. The scripture, the Word of God, declares something different. There's a responsibility that we have, okay? It just doesn't happen. And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He calls himself the gate, right? Amen. We have a responsibility on our part
God the Father provided the way of salvation through Jesus Christ. He was our sacrifice once for all to wash our sin away. We just have to do this one thing. Say yes. That's all. At the end of it all, it comes down to this one thing. What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? Will you say, I don't need Jesus. I'm going to do it my own way. You and I know people like that. Will they say, Jesus never existed. I don't believe in God. Will they say, not now? We hear that a lot. Not now. I'm not ready yet. I want to get right first. Friends, that doesn't exist. That doesn't exist, and it never comes. You come in here the way you are. In this church, arms are wide open. All right? Arms are wide open. You are welcome to come here, because here you will find the truth. We had this service Friday. There's a number of churches that are preaching the truth of God. Okay? So it's not just here at Alabama that you're going to find it. This is just one. Okay? But you got to find the truth. Amen. If your search takes you to something else, it's not the answer. It's not the answer. Okay? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Amen. Through Jesus. Amen. That's what this all points to. It all points to Him. Jesus said in John 10:10, I have come that you may have life and have it what? Abundantly, to the full. God wants us to live our lives to the fullness. It's all His creation. It's all His. It's for us. Enjoy it. Enjoy life. Receive salvation from Jesus Christ. First Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55. You don't need to turn there. You can if you would like. Grave, it says, where is your victory? Death, where is your what? Sting. Some of us have lost loved ones in the past. That hurts, doesn't it? Oh, yeah. It hurts because they're no longer here with us. And we grieve for them. Our hearts break for them. We long for them. We miss them. But when we have the hope that our loved one is in heaven with God the Father, hallelujah, with Jesus, hallelujah, doesn't that comfort us? Doesn't that take some of that sting away? Yes, we still miss them. Yes, it still hurts. But there's hope in it. There's hope that our loved one, we're going to be reunited because I'm going where you went. Hallelujah. There's hope in it. Amen. Grave, where's your victory now that Jesus rose from the grave, conquering sin and death? Where is your sting, death? Where is it? Jeremy Camp sings a song, the same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power that commands the dead to wake, lives in us. Lives in us. Would you stand with me today? The same power that moves mountains when He speaks. The same power that can calm a raging sea lives where? It lives inside of us, if we will allow Him. That's it. if we will allow him. Today, we celebrate the completion, the sealing of our fate, if you will. The sealing of our salvation was once and for all completed through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When he rose from the dead, the power of sin and death over us was broken.
Amen.
Now we are no longer slaves to sin. You were no longer slaves to bondage. We're no longer slaves to pornography. We're no longer slaves to drugs. We're no longer slaves. You can fill in the blank with whatever you want. We're no longer slaves because of what Jesus did on the cross. We're no longer slaves to our sin. Jesus paid the price and broke that sin. I don't know if you've ever accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Some of you here, I don't know you. Others, I do. But I want to tell you something. God loves you. And sometimes we hear that so often that it's almost cliche, you know? But it really, really is true. The Bible says, for God so loved the world, you and me, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And we know that our bodies are going to one day die, but our spirits are going to go on. Our spirits are going to live forever somewhere. And we call that, if it's with God, we call that heaven. If it's without God, we call that hell. And let me tell you something. You don't want to be in a place where God is not. You understand? You don't want to be in a place where God is not. That's really what it comes down to. You want to end up where God is. And he's made all of the provision for you. And he's put it all out on a map. He's routed it all for you. When you send your kids, when your kids are going on a trip maybe for the first time, or they just got their license or something, and they're not exactly sure of where to go, what do? You might write out a map for them, wouldn't you think? You'd say, okay, you're going to come to this road, you're going to take a left, and then stop sign, you take a right, and so on and so forth. That's what this is. That's what this is. This is God telling us how to get there. All right? He's shown us the way, but he's not going to force it on us.
That's right.
He's left that up to us. We have our own free will. We are free to say, yes, I receive, Jesus, what you did on the cross for me. Or we can say, nope, that's not for me. That's not for me. Today, the Bible says, today is the day of salvation. Now is the time. Don't wait. Don't wait. We're not guaranteed another day. How many of you know, I've had so many friends. Many of you know Emil. We had a funeral here, what was it, last year? Oh my goodness. How sad. Just one day, big accident, and that big old guy, he's gone forever. He's gone forever. He was my friend. And you know what? Praise God. He was here sitting in this front seat on Easter morning.
Hallelujah.
2 days later, he was gone. We're not guaranteed another day. I'm not trying to scare you. I don't need to scare you. I'm just telling you the truth, okay? Okay? We're not guaranteed another day. You have the opportunity now. We have this. We call it an altar. It's just a place to come and kneel down and lay it all down. How many of you know we carry a bunch of stuff around on our shoulders? We carry all this weight around and this sin and anger and bitterness, and we try to carry it around and do it ourselves. It don't work. 20 years later, we're carrying the same stuff around. We're traveling the same roads, ending up in the same places, going nowhere. Maybe today, it's time to try something different. Maybe today is God's day for you to come to Him and to know Him personally. Maybe all your life you've been hearing about God this and Jesus that, but it's going like this. And it's all right here, and none of it's here. Don't allow that to happen. Come today. We got a prayer team. Can they come make their way forward? As the prayer team comes forward, make your way forward. We want to pray with you. Jesus wants to be involved in your life, and He can only do that. He'll only do that if you allow Him. Open your heart. The Bible says, today I stand at the door and knock, Jesus said. Anyone who opens the door to me, I'm going to come into his heart. And we're going to sit down. We're going to sit down. We're going to eat together. We're going to have peace. We're going to be together. That's always what God wants, isn't it? For us to be in right relationship with Him. That's what He wants, always. At every corner of your life, God's waiting there to just hold you like this. Amen. Don't allow this opportunity to pass up. Come, lay it down. Come, allow Him to carry that burden for you. Come, receive Him as your Lord and your Savior. You won't believe the change that will happen in your heart. I remember that day when I just felt like that weight was lifted off of me, and I felt like a new person. Just like that scripture said, the old is gone, the new has come. It's like a big do-over button. We're going to sing that song. As we sing the song, don't wait. Make your way forward. Let's do this today. Let's get this right today. Amen.